got an 80s feel
to it.
It's
some 80s synth goodness.
That's good. Like, I like it.
Yeah.
It gets us,
where's my members only jacket?
It gets us jamming here as the thunderstorms roll through the Chicago area. It's a download, 720 WGN. Mike Fouché from the dailyline.net in studio, as he is every Wednesday to talk Chicago regional, Chicago, Cook County state politics.
Just the melange.
Lots to talk about. I mean, some movement today in Springfield, but why don't we start with Chicago Public Schools? This is something we've teased out here where they were very tight-lipped.
Right.
Mayor Emanuel and the office, the financial office there.
Right.
Wouldn't say how much they were actually down. Today, the numbers come out, $596 million to finish this season.
Maybe. See, that's the thing, is that what had happened yesterday is that one of the aldermen, Carlos Rosa, was going to have a briefing on how they were going to try and get money. And then while the mayor's folks decided that they were going to steal his thunder. And so all of a sudden the city CFO, Carol Brown, is going to do briefings for everybody. But what she did was that she had these separate briefings with small groups of reporters rather than everybody at once, one big presser. So, you know, Trib and Sun-Times went to one, our folks and WBZ went to one, the TV people went to one. And she had these conversations with them each. And if you look at the articles...
Are they different?
Well, if you look at the articles from us, from the Trib, from the Sun-Times, and from Cranes, they all sort of have the same numbers in there, but exactly how all the numbers tie together are not really the same.
I read a couple articles, and essentially what kept coming back was the idea that a block grant has not come in from the state of Illinois, and that's 300 and some odd million dollars that's owed to CPS.
Well, closer to 500 some odd million dollars. And the thing, though, is that then there's also this budget gap that they supposedly are supposed to fill. But the big question what happened in this briefing, from what I'm told by our reporter and others, is that Carol Brown just starts spouting off all kinds of numbers and talking about things very fast, and then she said, okay, thank you very much. You know, when people asked, you know, what's your plan? What exactly are you going to do? She said,
yeah,
well, we're still hoping for Springfield. And, normally when you get a briefing like that, you're told in advance so you can kind of figure some things out. And so nobody really had an opportunity to do that. And this is the first time that anybody had really talked about, well, how much money is owed. And this is the first time that we've actually heard about this state block grants that haven't been coming. I mean, well, how come we haven't heard about state block grants that aren't coming for some time? I mean, 3 months ago, we were told, well, it's $215 million that they need.
That's the number we've been talking about for months.
And then they cut $70 million, and so now it's probably 100 and something. Well, now we're told it's a $100 million gap plus this $600 million that is needed. It's so confusing.
Okay, so...
And so when we went back to the mayor's folks and said, can you explain exactly what this is? The answer was, well, that's what she said, isn't it? You know, and so we're just kind of, I'm sorry, what? So there, it's very unclear exactly what these numbers mean and where they come from.
Now, when you hear about the block grants, which is fascinating because... Governor Rauner says, okay, well, Susana Mendoza's in charge of doling out those payments.
Right.
So if she's delinquent in those payments, there's essentially saying something's fishy in the way that if she wants to give the money to the schools, she can prioritize those bills. She's
right.
Not. It's for politics. They're trying to manufacture a crisis.
That's kind of ludicrous. I mean, you know, the idea is, hey, Justin, I'm going to give you $10. And by the way, you owe $100 to these different people. So now you got to figure out who you're going to pay. I mean, that's basically the situation that Susana Mendoza is in. And the people that are not getting paid include hospitals, include charity organizations. I mean, come on. I mean, Lutheran Charities and Catholic Charities have both said that they're
shutting down. Is the block grant money being withheld? Or is it just that it's in line and it's going to get there?
It's late. And exactly what that means is unclear. How late is it? We don't know. When is it supposed to come? We don't know. So there's a lot of gamesmanship that's clearly going on at the state level. And nobody has really sat down from the city and said, here's a balance sheet. And here's the cash flow. And so this is exactly what we have. This is how much money is coming in. This is how much money is going out. What's the city's burn rate? We don't even know that. I mean, these basic kind of operational questions. You know, I was saying to somebody the other day, I have an MBA. I took 4 accounting courses, and I still don't understand exactly what's going on with the city.
Well, it seems to me that this I would think that the city is counting on that block grant. That's not political. They're going to get it at some point. It's just late. So throwing out that number is kind of throwing everybody out off a little bit, because they assume that money's coming, yet it's still not here. But it's not like what we know from the $215 million that Rauner kind of pulled off the table. That's money they want. That's money they want that the governor to give them.
If there's a block grant that's due, I'm sure that the school board could borrow against that. You know, it's money that's supposed to be coming. It's an anticipation. I'm sure you could get some sort of anticipation note based on that. But, you know, what the other stuff is not clear.
Let me ask Mike before we go to break. We've talked about this ad nauseum on this.
That is the phrase.
But in a good way, not in an annoying way.
Yeah.
But there's been talk from some of the aldermen. O'Connor talked about this idea that they don't want to get in a situation where their bond rating is affected, that they don't want to borrow tons of money and get a bad, you know, return to cover CPS.
I mean,
as much as Alderman Rosa wants to talk about taxes and TIFs and using that money, there are other aldermen that say this is dangerous for the city of Chicago to be bailing out. This is the state's job. They still need to come through.
Yeah. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, the basic fact, though, is that this isn't just a case for this year. Chicago Public Schools have a structural operational deficit. They've been operating that way for at least 5-6 years.
It has a lot to do with the pensions, the teacher pensions.
But it's not just the pensions. It's that the way that's been structured, and that the tax cap on CPS is too low, so CPS really can't raise its taxes. Last year, it went to its tax cap max over the previous year and got $16 million more. That's a joke.
That's nothing. Yeah.
That's a sneeze for a district the size of CPS. So, you know, it's a serious problem.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line joins us every Wednesday. We come back. Let's talk about this development project along the north branch of the Chicago River. And then also affordable housing. It continues the story in Jeff Park, which has been in the headlines and out, it's back.
Nuts.
It's going nuts. Yeah. Mike Fouché here on The Download. Stay with us. It's The Download here on 720 WGN. Mike Fouché from The Daily Line in studio.
Yeah.
One and a texter from 847 just pointed this out. When we talk about block grants from CPS, pay attention. Even if you don't have kids in CPS, you have kids in some of the suburban districts.
Yep.
They, too, are not getting their funding.
Yeah.
This is essentially not in a bad way, but a choice that needs to be made by the comptroller. There's not enough money to go around to pay everybody.
Right.
And Susana Mendoza's office is choosing who's getting their money first.
Right. Somebody is getting the shaft one way or another.
It looks like it's the schools right now.
Today.
Today. Tomorrow might
be somebody else. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Major story this week, redevelopment of the north branch of the Chicago River.
Yeah, the industrial corridor.
This was huge. I mean, the plans Giant. That we saw for this were imaginative, make no small plans. I mean, this was like revisioning what Chicago's north side looks
like. There's some super cool stuff in here. I mean, you know, one is, first off, they're going to build some new bridges. The other is that they want to extend the 606 to cross the river and go all the way over to
Lincoln
Park.
That's the walking trail, right?
The walking trail, which currently ends at Ashland. They want to create this amazing river path, but then another transit way that they keep calling it that will not allow cars, but... And they don't really detail it. They have this really cool picture of like a tram that might be going down it.
Between a car and a bike.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's like a bike path and there would be a tram that would go down there. You know, so there's a lot of really cool stuff that's vision in there. But then there's also some big things for developers. And one of them is actually for your company, Tribune Media. Tribune Media owns that huge swath of land south of Goose Island, where the Freedom Center is, where the Tribune newspaper is printed.
It might be Tronk that owns that.
Tribune Media owns all that land. And Tribune Media, that has been a planned manufacturing district, and so they couldn't develop it for anything other than industrial.
So now they can.
And now it's being suggested could be developed. And so expect to see skyscrapers
there. Yeah, I was going to say zoning will clear. This will be an area that they can take those factories and industrial corridor that we're talking about along the north branch there. That can all turn to residential. We may be seeing skyscrapers and different things that happen along that part of the city.
Well, yes. And one of the things, though, that the plan is very careful to say is that there's certain portions of it that will not be allowed to get any anything other than manufacturing or commercial, including the Goose Island area. That has to remain.
I mean, when I think about the factories and the industry that's along the corridor that's still there, there's not a lot that's still there.
Yeah.
I can only imagine they're like, what?
Well, there is some, I mean, especially when you're on Goose Island, there is. And there's a lot of other smaller light industrial when you go further up along Elston. And, you know, some of that area around the hideout is still some light industrial. But, yeah, most definitely. I mean, I think that the amount of those jobs has declined a lot. And the city is really saying, okay, now we're going to allow you to rezone it in order to put some other stuff
in. All right. I got the $1 million question, which we're just talking about schools and the budget issues there. I mean, we've talked a lot about taxes
probably
that went through the roof for all the
right.
residents of Chicago. How are we going to pay for this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you know, one of the things about this is that it is a plan. It's a draft framework is what they keep saying, and that it doesn't have all of the details. It's a visionary document. And when you go through it, it's 125 pages long, right? And really only one page talks about funding. And they have this concept that there's going to be a new zoning bonus that's just going to be for that area that's going to help pay for this stuff. But I don't know that
Almost
it's really
like its
going to be
TIF,
enough.
Right.
I don't know that it's going to be enough.
Well, we'll pay attention to that because that could obviously that has the possibility to be amazing for the city, and it also can be a huge pain
in
the butt.
I think in 10 years it's going to be a very different place. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's
all right, last question. Jefferson Park, the affordable housing fight over a building, a half-storage, half-affordable
right.
housing development that's happening continues to...
5150 North Northwest Highway.
Where are we with this story? Because this is something that we've seen over time now. There's been several people in the community have come out and said they don't want this building. They feel like it's going to bring in. There's been calls of, well, you know what? This is about racism. It's about not in my backyard. You don't want people who might be poor people come in. Affordable housing. Where are we right now with this story?
Okay, well, here's the basics, right? Is that there is a building at 5150 North and Northwest Highway, which is...
Jefferson Park,
just south of Foster. And what a group of people are attempting to do is build a building which has a lot of affordable housing in it. And it is an apartment building. I think it's four stories is what it's going to be. But there's another portion of the land, too, which is meant to be a storage facility. They broke that up into two pieces, the storage facility and the apartment
right.
building. And they had the hearing for the storage facility a few weeks ago.
Right.
And just as like a test protest, I don't know what the heck was going on, is that groups from both sides, and this is split Jefferson Park into two. There used to be one Jefferson Park Neighborhood Association. Now there are two neighborhood associations. There's one neighborhood association that wants to limit development. What they're really talking about is this place, and another that wants to encourage development, and they're really talking about 5150. Encourage development means they like the affordable housing. Mm-hmm. Limit development means that they don't. And there's
almost
a lot of dog whistle kind of talk.
I mean, Chicago's a Democratic place. You know, when you run for alderman, they're Democrats. John Arena's the progressive alderman there. That's it. But this seems to be somewhat of a proxy fight for Arena and the challenger that he's had for
John Garrido.
Yeah, for the last couple elections. But it seems like the opposition, I mean, it's falling under sort of political parties.
It absolutely is. And it's incredible because if you remember, both of the elections between Arena and Garrido really came very close, within hundreds of votes, two times within a four-year period. And Garrido isn't going away. He's not really leading the charge on this stuff, but he's certainly visible, and he's certainly playing a part. And a lot of his supporters are definitely visible, too. So this is all going to come into city council. They're going to have a special set of hearings in the next week or so. They haven't announced the date just for this particular property.
Wow.
So we'll see.
Mike Fouché from The Daily Line, thedailyline.net. Aldercast is a podcast here at WGN+. He joins us every Wednesday. Mike, great to see you.
Great to be here.